Welcome in to the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Ali Moreno. Stephen Nicol is here. I feel we just need to get it out of the way. Let's just address it. Let's talk about it and then we can move on.
What?
That. So basically, Friday you were told we were going to have a photo shoot, yes? Uh-huh.
Correct.
Promotional.
Promotional photo shoot. Uh-huh. Yes. You called me, anything special? I said, maybe get your haircut, Stevie. Uh-huh. You were in Philadelphia, so you couldn't get your traditional haircut.
Correct.
Tell us what happened.
Well, basically, as far as I know, when Mona cuts my hair, it's a 2 on the side.
Right.
And a 3 on the top.
Okay.
So on Sunday, I went to an establishment.
Yes.
And asked for a 2 on the side and a 3 on the top. And this is what happened. Now, the problem is, I've got to take my glasses off while I'm getting my hair cut.
Yep.
So, the first stroke, I did the sides first, and then the second stroke like that, and I went, hold on a minute, and I put my glasses on. I couldn't believe what I saw. But it was too late. I had to let them carry on.
Yeah, well, you've got to stick it back on.
He took the rest off.
Oh, what did he say when he was giving this... When he's going over the top?
Well, it was strange because... Oh, is this a summer haircut? I was like, oh, what's he talking about, a summer haircut? Anyway, it'll grow back, don't worry about it.
It will. But he did what you are. Like, that is a 2 and a 3.
Well, I thought there'd be a standard.
Surely, there is a standard.
Surely Mona's 2 and 3, you would think would be the same as everywhere else.
Mona's 2 and 3 is very different, I think.
Well, clearly.
And so then you sent me a picture. I rang you straight away. And was it Nora in the background who was in the car, your granddaughter?
Oh, they were all laughing.
And she was like, Dad, everybody's laughing at Pappy.
I walked in the house and my wife and my 2 grandkids just started laughing at me.
Yes.
So I wasn't happy.
No.
So then she'd obviously called my son. So then they FaceTimed me, him and his wife, my other 2 grandkids, and they were laughing as well.
Ah, at least it's done now, Steve.
Tell you what, it's a good job I don't take things too seriously.
No, it's all right. It is. Your head is very round. I thought that as well when I looked at it.
It's quite round.
Okay, right. That is the haircut done. Let's focus on what is going on in the soccer world, shall we? Starting off with Rafael Varane's imminent transfer to Manchester United. We've talked about this a lot, but everyone pretty much saying that it is a done deal that gets sorted sooner rather than later. What does this do for United, Stevie? Your Varane-Maguire partnership? It's got people excited.
Yeah, makes them better. Listen, all you're trying to do when you're putting a team together is try and build it and add pieces to the jigsaw. And obviously, making it better and better. And stop sniggering while you're looking.
I'm not sniggering.
Yeah,
I was just
sniggering at me. So that's what you try to do. You're trying to get better and better all the time. And what Varane does is it makes them better. And considerably better than Lindelof, I would say. So you've just got to keep strengthening. And there's no question, that's a great partnership.
Is that a great team?
Great-ish. It's on the way to becoming a really good team. But you still got to figure out, okay, what happens with Paul Pogba? What happens with the future of Paul Pogba at Manchester United? Cavani is a short-term answer. You do not know what your long-term answer is in that position. You have to get consistency out of David De Gea, who was for so many years the best player of Manchester United. It hasn't been the case over the last couple of seasons. So there are certain parts of Manchester United that you like, and then there are other parts where you go, still searching to see what the best version of Manchester United is going to be in the future.
How good is that back four?
It's not better than City's.
Right.
It's not better than Liverpool's when they're all fit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably the third best back four.
Right.
Defensively, right now.
Better than Chelsea. We lauded their defence under Tuchel.
Yeah, I'm not... You can't argue with stats and facts. Mm. And they have been good defensively. But I'm not quite sold yet on them. I mean, how long longer is Silva going to last?
Sure.
I'm not sure about Christensen, or he's trying to still get rid of him. Mm. Zuma's going to be gone. So they're going to have to start signing, in my opinion, players at centre-back as well. So, yeah, I would say Man United are just slightly ahead of Chelsea.
the concern you would have, taking a look at that starting 11, is the bench that was there. Mm-hmm. There isn't the depth that there is, for example, at Chelsea or Manchester City.
Well, of course. And so when I say, for example, Cavani is a short-term answer, let's just say Cavani gets injured.
Yeah.
And now you're having to scramble. You're having to figure out, well, who's going to score the goals? Well, it's going to be Marcus Rashford. Well, is it? Because it hasn't been. At times, yeah, he looks the part. And at times you think, yeah, he's a really good player and talented and it's going to score a few goals, but not consistently enough. And so I just look at Manchester United and I say, there are reasons to get excited if you're a Manchester United fan, but don't get crazy.
Right.
Don't go over the top. This is still a Manchester United team that found a way to lose to Villarreal in a game that mattered, in Europa League final. And whatever you may think of Europa League, it's still a final and you're still favorites and you were not able to come through with the result that you wanted. And it's mostly those players there. And so, yes, Manchester United, they've taken steps forward. It seems like Solskjaer has taken a step forward with this group. And yet, I just think that there are teams above them that are simply better. They have more depth. They're more complete. And Manchester United is still playing catch-up.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, of course, given a new contract at the weekend. 3+1, Stevie.
You know, the first thing that came through my head when I heard this? Were they scared that somebody was going to come and get them?
Who?
Because nobody is.
It's weird, isn't it?
Nobody that's ahead of Manchester United is going to come and get Ole Gunnar Solskjaer if he's out of contract. So I've no idea. I don't know why they would just wait.
It is strange, isn't it? Like, we work in a contract industry.
Yeah.
Right. Dan, no one's interested in you.
Yeah.
You've got a year left, but don't worry. We're going to give you another big deal because, you know, what you've done has been, you know, you haven't got done enough to get sacked yet.
Right. Is this how you walk into the office to negotiate your contract? You may want to go with a different...
Is that
a different
not a good tactic?
No, not a good tactic. Not the routine that you may want to use. It's unnecessary. It's unnecessary for Manchester United to take this step. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, right now, at this point, I feel like he's done enough to hang on to the job,
mm-hmm.
but not to really take a hold of the position. He's there, seems to be working with some equity, but that equity seems to be disappearing every time that they lose a big game. And so while I continue to think that there is pressure on him and Manchester United to perform, then why in the world would you put yourself in a position where you sort of corner yourself into a decision that you did not need to make? I don't think that this was in the best interest of Manchester United. If you're Solskjaer, you're like, oh, hey! Woo! Yeah, who's making these decisions? Thank you very much, appreciate it. No problem, I'll sign wherever you want me to and however long you want me to.
Well, it seems like the people making the decisions, their ceiling is a little lower than other so-called bigger teams. You know, they seem to be quite happy with the job he's doing.
That's concerning, isn't it, for Manchester United?
Well, is Manchester United supposed to be, certainly under Alex, he turned them into a team that had to be. They had to be up the top. They had to be, at the very least, they had to be fighting. Manchester United are not even fighting yet for the Premier League title. But somehow, the people in charge think that he's making strides. Mm. They think that he's getting the team better. And with the signing of Varane, with the signing of Sancho, they'll be sitting up in the ivory tower going, well, we're getting better, we're still getting better. Well, you know what, we don't want to lose him, so let's give him a few more years, another couple of years, and let him settle down and he can get on with his job.
Settle down.
So they seem to be quite happy that they think they're making progress. But Man United is not about progress. Man United is about winning.
Yeah.
And being third and losing in semis and losing in finals isn't good enough for Manchester United.
And it's the amount of progress. It's what you consider to be tangible progress. Is a progress something that is direct from the talent that you have out on the field? So you should be getting some of these results. You should be finishing, at the very least, third in the Premier League. But the goals should be higher than that. And so when you think, well, are they taking steps forward? Yes. But are they taking strides forward? No. And does it look like they're going to take strides forward anytime soon? I don't think so.
There'll be more discussion, I'm sure, about, you know what, on Extra Time. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel as the boys stay late to answer your tweets.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're at the quarterfinal stages of the Gold Cup. The US men in action against Jamaica. Not the best game in the world, but the US won't care because 7 minutes before time, Matthew Hoppe with his first goal for the national team. And what a time to get it to make it 1-0.
Well, it's horrendous goalkeeping. But Hoppe just keeps his eye on the ball, judges the flight perfectly and heads it home. Goalkeeper absolutely all over the place here.
Late catching butterflies, is that?
Hunting for butterflies.
Hunting for butterflies, yes,
exactly.
That is your... Well, the US then book a place in the final four with that 1-0 victory against Jamaica. For more on this, let's hear from Herc and Seb.
Dan, thank you very much. Yeah, the US through to the semifinals of the Gold Cup after beating Jamaica. But just beating them, Herc, 1-0 and having to wait to the 83rd minute to get that goal from Matthew Hoppe. Good performance or good enough?
Good enough.
Yeah.
But expected, right? This is a very inexperienced
squad.
You
expected it. You thought they would struggle against Jamaica.
And they did.
Yeah.
And they did. Matthew Hoppe scored, 83rd minute?
Yep.
But
right
before that, Jamaica had a chance on a set piece, and you could have sworn that would have gone in. Matt Turner was already beat. The defenders were already beat. It was a ball coming across his six-yard box. It was like everything was there for the take, and it was... You had a better second half showing, but not enough. And
right.
Jamaica was still in it. So, yeah, very much so a game they could have easily lost, but they found a way to win. Matthew Hoppe gets his first international goal, and good teams, like this is a good young team, very young, inexperienced, found a way.
Yeah, and we also have to say how many players they're missing, right? They've beaten out Jamaica and Canada, and those teams are missing a player or two, but this is none of the U.S.'s best 11, and they're still getting these results. I think we also have to point out the performance from Matthew Hoppe, not just the goal, but, I mean, Herc, this is a kid who continues to elevate his stock.
Every time I see him play, I watch him play, I'm impressed by how vertical he is, how direct and goal dangerous he is, his movements, and how...
Reminds you of a young Hercules Gomez?
Yeah, except for the size. This is where I'm going. He's 6'3".
Yep.
He's 6'3", he's 20 years old, and he's deceivingly fast for that size, but he's hungry.
Mm.
You see how hungry he is when he's in the final third, and every time he's on the ball, it's not let me play it safe, it's not let me be sure with it, it's let me make my mark, let me go to goal, and he makes things happen.
It wasn't a great performance overall. Individually, were there some guys you feel like might have let themselves down in a big opportunity?
Yeah, Darryl Dike.
Really?
Dike, yeah, that's two straight games, Canada and now Jamaica, where better opposition, and he goes quiet. But very quiet. And when he's on the ball, it's evident that he was the cause of the breakdown in the play. Whether it's a bad touch with his back to goal, whether it's a breakdown in possession, what be it, it was Darryl Dike not being the sharpest on his night. And listen, for a guy that was lighting up in Major League Soccer and in the championship and so much talk and, you know, jabber around him and going and where he should go and a $20 million price tag, prove it here.
Yeah.
Prove it against the Canadas of the world, the Jamaicas in the world, in CONCACAF. We're not asking you to prove against Germany, Brazil, Argentina. In CONCACAF and at the highest level in CONCACAF right now, Canada and Jamaica, he struggled.
You think he's hurt his chances at a move right now?
Certainly a $20 million move.
Okay.
I think if you're a team around the world right now and you're scoffing at the $20 million mark, he's 20 years old, he's very raw, intangibles are there, very exciting player, but certainly not $20 million.
You know who he reminds me of?
Who?
A young Hercules Gomez. Very streaky, but can score in bunches. Maybe that'll change throughout the rest of his career. All right, that's it for us here in the Football America studio. Dan, back to you.
Wish I had that size.
Thank you very much, boys. It's not particularly convincing, but the bookies do have the US as favourites going into that semi-final against Qatar. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. It has been quite the managerial merry-go-round, hasn't it, in Italy. Five of the top seven sides will have new coaches as the new season kicks off next season, including, of course, Juventus. Pirlo out, Allegri coming back to Turin as we welcome in Nicky Vandini to the show. Nicky, let's start, shall we, by talking about Cristiano Ronaldo and his future. 1 year left on his contract, and suggestions in the Italian media are that is it. He is done and dusted after that.
Yeah, well, we've had all different suggestions over the last couple of weeks, to be honest with you. There was a prolonged period when everyone seemed to be very certain that he was going to extend his contract. Personally, I've always been quite sceptical that either side really wants that. Juventus for financial reasons. Ronaldo, because I think if there's anything else left that he wants to do in his career, he hasn't got so much time left to do it. So this is the time to move on. But I do think there's been a lot that's been said and speculated on that is slightly jumping the gun a bit, because of course Ronaldo only got back to training today. So today was his first session back with Max Allegri, who of course was the manager when he first arrived, but hasn't been for the last two seasons. So I think much is still to be understood between those two before we really know what's happening in the future with Ronaldo.
You take a look at his stats for the Juventus, they're fantastic, Nicky, but just remind us how much he makes.
Oh, he makes an astonishing amount of money. I think it's about 30 million euros after tax, so it's a huge amount of money. He's easily the best paid player in Serie A. It's not close. The talk for extending his contract would be to reduce the yearly sum, but of course by extending the contract mean that he makes more in total. So if there was an extension, that's what Juventus would be looking for. But again, I'm not certain that either side really wants that.
From a football perspective, Nicky, does it make sense? If you're in charge, would you give him more years?
I think, again, without wanting to repeat myself, I do think that a lot of it comes down to Allegri. Juventus have made this move to try and play more attacking football with Maurizio Sarri, and it kind of worked. They won the league, but it didn't go the way they wanted it to, so they moved on from Sarri. They tried to start a new renovation under Andrea Pirlo, a new idea. We're going to start young, and we're going to build something new, and it didn't work out. They didn't win the league. So they've come back to Allegri, and I think there's never been a time when Allegri has had more power than this over what happens next, especially with Fabio Paratici leaving the club as well. So the vision comes down to Allegri. Now, Allegri got good results out of Ronaldo when he was there the first time. They got plenty of goals, but there were issues. You know, he did have some team selection issues with Dybala in particular. Dybala, who'd done great with him the season before, he couldn't seem to fit into the team. He kept saying, look, Ronaldo needs Mandzukic. So I think until we see what Allegri does with this group, until we know whether Allegri is happy to push on and focus everything around Ronaldo again, or if he thinks that now he's coming back, he's going to try and do something with Dybala, do something different. I just think we don't know the answers to that until we've really seen Allegri settle back into this job and work with these players again.
If you were Allegri, Stevie, how hard would you push to get an extension to Ronaldo's contract?
That's a tough one, because there's a huge difference between now and 12 months' time physically.
Right.
You know, things can go pretty quick. When you start getting past 35, things get harder, things go quicker. Your stamina disappears, your balance leaves you. I mean, there's so many things can happen to his body in the next year. But the thing is, 36 goals and 5 assists.
Yeah.
You can't not respect that. And if somebody came to you and said, by the way, Allegri, I've got a guy who last year in Serie A scored 36 goals and had 5 assists in like 40-something games, are you interested? He'd take your hand off. So there's no question he absolutely deserves what he's getting right now for the next season coming.
Yeah.
But again, you have to look at it again in 12 months' time.
And he's not just going to be a year, Ali. He won't be happy with just a year extension. So that obviously plays into the hands of the negotiations. Does part of you think MLS?
Yes. But then part of me also says, in order for that to work, there's got to be a pay cut.
Sure.
Because
$30 million
yeah.
after taxes, that's not in play. And
were you not on that at Chivas?
No, I was not. not even close. Not even in Monopoly money was I close to that. Look, you push if you're Allegri, of course. But if you're Juventus and you're looking long term, you almost have to look past the 36 goals. You almost have to say to yourself, man, we cannot do a multi-year contract at right. this sort of money. It has to work financially for us, and there's got to be a major pay cut, and he's got to take a major hometown discount. And this is when I would address Ronaldo and address it directly with him. And from what we know of Ronaldo, does this look like a guy that would take a significant pay cut? I don't think so. And so at what point does he say to himself, you know what, I'm happy here, I like it here, let's make the numbers work? Or at what point does he say, hey, thank you, I scored my goals here, I'm going elsewhere because elsewhere I'm going to be appreciated more and I'm going to be paid more and it's going to be the sort of experience that I want? That's going to be more of a personal decision by Ronaldo than a decision by Juventus themselves.
Juventus can't really lose for me here, because if they don't offer him a contract, everybody understands why.
Right.
Ronaldo's the only person that doesn't understand why. And if he goes around this year again and scores 36 goals and 5 assists,
yeah.
then guess what? You give him another 30 million, give him a 12-month deal. And if he doesn't and he's injured, then you say, you know what? That 30 million, we can use it elsewhere. Thanks for your service and move on.
And to that point, how many teams are lining up and saying, hey,
let's give him 30,
yeah. 30 million,
yeah.
multi-year contract? Yeah. I don't think so.
Obviously, Cristiano Ronaldo got the goals last year. That was really one of the only positives for Juventus. A poor season overall. And how many times, Nicky, did we talk about the lack of drive in midfield? Of course, they're looking to address that. Locatelli has been heavily linked to a move to Juventus. But we've seen in the past, haven't we, when it comes to Juve acquiring Italian talent, it hasn't worked out every time.
No, that's true. Obviously, there's someone who even did play a role like Locatelli for Italy at Euro 2020. Federico Bernardeschi would be a recent example of an Italian player who was brought to Juventus and who hasn't yet lived up to the potential that everyone saw in him at Juventus. Having said that, Federico Chiesa could be your counterpoint if you want a recent one, a young Italian talent who's gone and taken leaps and bounds further in his first season at Juventus than I thought he would straight away. Locatelli is a brilliant player. He certainly, from everything I've heard, only has eyes for Juventus. He has had interest from elsewhere, but he wants that move. He wants to go to the club that is traditionally dominant in domestic football in Italy. And I think he'd be a brilliant fit, because really, exactly as you said, Dan, the problem with this Juventus team, it isn't up front. We can worry about whether or not Dybala and Ronaldo fit together, but the team's going to score goals. The problem for this team last season was in the middle of the pitch, where it really felt, after Pjanic had gone, like there was no one who was confident putting their foot on the ball and dictating the play. Arta a little bit, but he was injured a lot, and still, even when he was fit, didn't quite look like the fit everyone hoped he was going to be. So Locatelli would be a great signing, and I think that's absolutely the area they most need to address this summer.
Nicky, I mentioned at the start the changing of coaches to some of the top sides, including Roma, of course, who haven't finished in a Champions League place in the last 3 seasons. Just give us an idea of the Jose Mourinho effect and the attention that Roma are getting now as opposed to the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting lots of attention. Mourinho is the story, and people, I suppose a bit like Ronaldo, people tend to split very hard on their views about whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. Some people are delighted with Mourinho. They think that he's going to bring winning ways. The players have all spoken pretty positively about him, including players like Edin Dzeko, who seemed to be very much on the out last season at Roma, had the big falling out with Paolo Fonseca. He seems to be very much pushing towards, no, I want to be here now, I want to work under Mourinho. You listen to people like Spinazzola, who had a great Euros and was talking about, no, Mourinho is going to be the one who brings winning back here. But at the same time, there's another side of this. There are people who think that Mourinho has completely, to use a word that I keep seeing in the Italian press, cannibalized the narrative around Roma. We can't talk about anything else now except Mourinho. And Mourinho is not going to be out there on the pitch. And he's not going to be able to sign all of the players that he wants, because Roma have huge wage bill that they need to find ways to cut. perhaps by getting rid of a player like Dzeko, who is their most paid player, or someone like Javier Pastore, who's been there barely playing the last couple of seasons. So they have big issues still, Roma, that Mourinho for now can be the story because they haven't had to play a game yet. But once they start playing, it's going to be a big question of whether or not he can produce the results that everyone is associating with him.
Monica, I forgot Pastore was there.
Exactly.
What's a successful season for Roma? Top four?
They want to get back in the Champions League. That's why Mourinho was hired, is to get them back into the Champions League. He himself is a financial gamble for Roma. As I said, they've got big wage bill issues, and he's on at least three times, I think, what Fonseca was earning at Roma. So he's a gamble, but the gamble is, well, he'll get us into the Champions League and we'll make the money back. But there's going to be serious competition for that this season. Obviously Juventus, obviously Inter, Milan, who, as we saw, were top of the table for so long last season, then Lazio and Napoli as well. It's not going to be an easy fight for that top four spot. Atalanta, how did I not even say Atalanta?
Oh, who've been there you're anti-Atalanta the way, isn't he?
I am.
Let's take a look at how the bookies have things set then. Juventus 5-4 to win the title. Inter to defend it at 2-1. Atalanta at 5. Nikki said that may as well be 100. Napoli, meanwhile, at 14-1. Milan at 16. Let's get some way too early predictions. Who's going to win it all, Nikki?
So last season I went with Inter. This season, for me, it's the Max Allegri effect. I think he'll get Juventus back on top. I just think he's a really great manager.
Nikki Bandini, as always, thank you very much for your time. Just a reminder, if you haven't done so, be sure to go over to our YouTube channel and subscribe to ESPN FC.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
To celebrate La Liga coming to ESPN, we are focusing on one team a day. And today it's all about the Yellow Submarines, Villarreal, who kick off their campaign against Granada. Ali's still with us, and look who joins us. What a world this is, Kay.
A little bit more hair than the last guest.
Yes, it is. That's not difficult.
Yes.
Kay, it's been a while since we've worked together.
Since we've been on set together. I think it's been over a decade.
I reckon so. What a moment for everyone.
Very special.
Enjoy it. Drink it in. Of course, you're here because when you worked in Spain, you travelled everywhere. You've been to all these different places. And for Villarreal, when we talk about this, it is such a unique town. We're not overstating it.
No, and obviously Villarreal's a club and Villarreal is the town. We've got to get that one right.
Yeah, right, OK. And, 5 years and I got that wrong. Thanks, Kay. Show me up.
So it's the many ceramics. That's what you see all around. That's what they make their business on. So many of the people who live there, and they just live and breathe football. And the stadium is now the Ceramica. It used to be El Madrigal. And when we used to go there, it's almost being in a like being in a dugout. Like when you're the press, you are literally under the stands. So when everyone's eating their pipas, their sunflower seeds, and they're spitting them out, the shells are actually showering down on your head. That's how intimate it is. It's wonderful.
Sounds like a great experience.
So many things I could say if I get in trouble. Ali, you take a look at this team and you kind of, when they really became prominent, was that incredible run they had in the Champions League. Obviously, Raquel May was very much the star of the show. Since then, they've gone through dips and troughs, which, of course, saw last year then peak in the Europa League.
And it's hard to evaluate last season for Villarreal and not think, well, it was successful. You win Europa League, a trophy for Villarreal, what it means to this club, what it means to the history of this club, then you say, of course, it's a great season. But was it really? Because when you look at the performance in La Liga, Villarreal were seventh in the league, and seventh would be okay if you didn't actually look into the numbers and figure out that they were 19 points behind fourth place Sevilla. And so what Europa League did was essentially salvage the season for Unai Emery and Villarreal as a whole, in that you say, you know what, hey, it doesn't matter what happened in La Liga because we won in Europe and we won Europa League. Villarreal should be contending year in and year out for that top four position. I think it's a good enough team, a good enough club to be in that sort of conversation, not 19 points worse than Sevilla. That cannot be the goal for Villarreal. And I think this is a team that is trying to close that gap. They've made some moves. They're going to depend on Gerard Moreno scoring goals.
Yeah.
There is some conversation that maybe Shaqiri would be a potential target for them. They brought in a striker in Bulaye Dia. Maybe he makes a difference. Chukwueze has to be more effective and more consistent in his play. There are pieces here for Villarreal to make a run for top four. That should be the target.
What's interesting, Kate, is their continued success. So they've managed to build on that incredible era under Pellegrini and Riquelme. And obviously you're up against Valencia in competition for fans, yet they seem to attract it. Like, we're going to talk about Getafe. Goodness knows what we're going to say about them. It's kind of the same sort of situation. You've got this little town outside of a main city, yet they attract all these supporters.
And they all live and breathe for it. And you just mentioned Riquelme, and it's just some of the names that they've managed to bring there. You mentioned Shaqiri, Diego Forlan, and everything that he did there. They're able to get these players through the doors that are absolutely worshipped when they go there. And let's not forget, yes, they're competing. Others do forget that, though. It's in the Valencian region, so it's, if you're looking to pick a team to support, that's where you're going to get the chance to go.
Yep.
On top of that, great nickname, Yellow Submarine.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is that sea of yellow whenever you go to the stadium, and it's always packed whenever it can be. Obviously, it's a pandemic right now.
Yeah.
But whenever you can go there, there's never an empty seat.
No, it's incredible. Like, the atmosphere is always intense, and those who love it, and it's good, like, if you're looking at La Liga and thinking about a team to support, this ticks a lot of boxes in that, you know, they're not a big team, they're not arrogant, they're just very appreciative of what they've done and look to continue to build on that.
Yeah, because they've gone down, they've come back up, and they've always just managed to bounce back when hard times have hit them. And I think that in itself is something that, if you don't want to just go for the glory hunting, and you could say that because obviously they've just won the Europa League, that it would be a good time. But it is a good team where there will be relative success and something to celebrate now and again, and a challenge for the big teams when it does come to those games against the likes of your Atletis and your Real Madrids and your Barcelonas. You generally expect a good game whenever it's Villarreal.
And Unai Emery on the touchline, that's always entertaining.
Well, it does give this team a different type of value, because Unai Emery, whether you like him or not, whether you think enough of him as a manager or not, the guy is successful and does get his team playing a certain way. And he does have some personnel available here for Villarreal where this team can be entertaining. They're back and forth. They're open. They'll possess the ball. They'll get after you offensively. They'll have their issues defensively. But it makes it fun to watch a Villarreal match because you know it's going to be open. You know there are going to be goals.
What do you reckon? Easier to sit there or here?
I like it sitting there better.
Don't tell them that. That makes them feel more special.
Well, I get ice cream usually in that seat, Dan.
10 years we've worked with Shaka. When's he ever bought us ice cream?
Never.
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 Kay's on, oh, after my the Jerry's special ice cream I bought for you. Blimey, Shaka. Goodness me.
What about sunflower seeds? Is she going to bring some?
I promise I won't throw the shells on your heads.
Maybe on tomorrow's show, Kay. Thank you very much. Kay will be hosting tomorrow. The focus will be on...
Granada.
Oh, look at us.
The 13th then is when it all starts. Valencia taking on Getafe on the Saturday. Real Madrid kick off their campaign away against Alaves. And on the Sunday, Atleti start the defence of their title against Celta Vigo. And it's Barca against Real Sociedad at the Camp Nou. Just a reminder, all these games throughout the season live on ESPN+.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Taking a look at what Arsenal been up to this summer. Of course, the big story surrounding them is they look like they're set to sign Ben White for £50 million from Brighton, adding Lokonga and Tavares. Those deals have already been done. Meanwhile, Guendouzi, Saliba, David Luiz, Odegaard and Ceballos all out as it stands. Nicky Bandini back with us, and as an Arsenal season ticket holder, Nicky, I feel that you're in the best position to tell us how you're feeling looking at that and the potential start of a new season.
Yeah, I think that a lot of Arsenal fans are looking at that and thinking, hang on a second, we actually had, I think, only two teams in the Premier League conceded fewer goals than Arsenal last season, but quite a lot of teams scored more goals than Arsenal last season. They only scored 55 goals. And I think a lot of Arsenal fans are looking at that list of signings and thinking, all right, so we've signed a couple of defenders, we've signed a 21-year-old midfielder. When are we going to sign something that's going to add creativity, add something to the attack, just add things going forward? Part of the answer to that is Ben White is a central defender, but he is very much someone who will contribute to the build-up play. That's exactly why Mikel Arteta likes him. He's a player who fits into Arteta's idea of how to play football, fits into Arteta's schemes, who Leeds and Brighton, both clubs, was very much involved in the build-up play. And I think that's a huge factor in the signing of Ben White. Really comfortable playing the ball off both feet as well, which even came up in the game against Arsenal last season. So I'm certain that's Arteta's thinking, but I can tell you a lot of fans are thinking, OK, but when are we going to add something to the midfield and the attack that's going to help us score more goals, really?
What's a good season, Nicky? Fourth?
Everyone would love to see Arsenal get back into the top four, certainly, but that is not something that's happened for a few seasons now, so I'm not sure whether that's a realistic goal. That would be an excellent season, for certain. I guess another version of a good season would be to go and win the Europa League, which goes into the Champions League. Another version of a good season might be to finish fifth, but play well and win the cup. I don't know. There's lots of versions, but for sure, Arsenal as a club want to be in the Champions League. It's just that I'm not sure that that's such a close step at the moment. It feels like it's still a couple of steps away.
Nicky Bandini, as always, thank you very much. We'll keep up to date as to when that Ben White deal will get done. Be sure to check out Transfer Talk over on our website. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next, where, of course, as always, we'll be answering some of your questions.
What about Stevie's hair?
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. There was one subject that dominated, really, the questions that we had in. Stevie, do you think you messed up your haircut? Is karma for you making fun of Robbo so many times?
No.
No?
Not at all.
Being mean to Robbo and his bald ways?
Not at all. Do you think Robbo was bothered?
No.
Do you think Robbo's... Anything I've said, Robbo hasn't heard 1,000 times before.
Exactly.
How much have you heard about your
hair? Yeah, how much have you heard about it in the last 24 hours? Then?
I haven't. All I've heard is laughter.
Right. Okay. What did Eleanor say when you were getting in the shower this morning?
She says it wouldn't take you long to wash your hair, will it?
Hey!
Hey, oh, and by the way, we're going to save on gel.
Ali, if someone told you you would score the winning goal in the World Cup final, but you had to get Stevie's hair cut, would you do it?
Absolutely, it's what I get anyway.
This is it. In fact, when I looked at the mirror, I went, that reminds me of Alejandro Moreno.
Yeah. The only difference is that your hair is going to grow back. Mine, who knows?
Right then, Stevie, here we go. Let's get some serious questions.
Well, by the way, I got to the car this morning, the Craig, we're golfing.
Yes.
And he went, right, let me see it, because I had my hat on. Yeah. I went like that, and he went, And then he went, yeah, there was a guy at the golf club when I was back in England, did that. And it never grew back.
It will grow back when it's that?
Absolutely.
That's confident.
Are you kidding me?
Stevie, if Pep were coaching United and Ollie were coaching City next season, who would be more likely to win the Premier League title?
I would say City. We've got better players.
Would you agree?
Yes. It comes down to the talent that is available on the field.
Stevie, assuming Van Dijk and Gomez are fully fit and Varane goes to United, what is the best centre-back pairing in the Premier League for the upcoming season?
Stones and Diaz.
Yep. They usurp... Van Dijk and Gomez?
Well, you can't. You can only talk about what.
So who would
what
who's better, Van Dijk and Gomez? Sorry, Van Dijk and Gomez or Varane and Maguire?
Mm. Well, you'd have to say. You'd have to say Van Dijk and Gomez.
Because it's proven.
Well, we haven't seen them yet, exactly. Right. Haven't seen Maguire and Varane. On paper, looks great. Will it work? We don't know.
For Stevie, what do you think of Wijnaldum's comments about Liverpool fans and not supporting him? This was strange. Wijnaldum gave this interview where he said basically two different types of supporters, one at Anfield and one on social media.
Oh, you can't kill social media.
It seemed weird.
I mean, not...
Like the things they've said about your hair and you don't mind.
No. Seriously, social media has... Social media's got nothing to do with somebody buying a ticket and going and supporting a football team.
Right.
Nothing whatsoever. So I'm actually surprised he took it seriously.
Yeah.
Because if he's answering the question, then he must have taken it seriously. So, yeah, doesn't make any sense.
I was just looking at the screen there, and you're right. There is a resemblance to a little bit of me.
You just need to be a bit redder.
Well, a tiny bit, but...
And put some glasses on.
That too.
Give me your glasses, Stevie. Let's see. Now say Lukaku.
Oh my God. Where am I at? Lukaku!
God, Stevie, you got really small eyes.
Hey, who said that?
Stevie.
Ali, give me glasses. Oh, that's the screen. Oh, there we go.
It's like a mole. Ali, what is the possibility of Messi lifting a Champions League trophy this season?
Oof. Oh, slim.
Very teeny tiny. There's a chance when Messi's on the field. If he goes on a run and then Barcelona somehow sort themselves out defensively and somehow they get enough out of the midfield, maybe there's a chance, but it's really small.
Stevie and Ali, how long do you guys think you'd last in a Legends match if you were given about a week to prepare?
No.
How long are we talking?
One run.
One run and you'd be done.
Well, you'd pull something.
Done. Right. Mm.
Well, I'll give you an example. Last year, I had a day off, decided to go and play nine holes on my own, practice my putting.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
So I get on a green.
Yes.
And I put three or four balls round the outside of the green.
Okay.
And as I was getting ready to putt, one of the sprinklers came on.
Right.
So, cat-like movement.
Yes.
Quick as a flash.
Yeah.
On toes, pushing off, and my calf went.
So that tells you everything.
That tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, that's it.
I couldn't play golf for a week. I had to ice it and anti-inflammes and everything.
Oh.
One run.
But how was the quickness, though?
Huh? I was...
No.
Mariner stuff.
Yeah, Paul Mariner.
It wasn't there.
Ali, how long would you last? You play with your kids,
I would say about an hour.
Yeah.
I'll get out there for about an hour or so and be somewhat useful.
Ali, would a Venezuela team
What you could do, you could last the hour and a half, but what you could do is do what Kenny did.
Right.
Kenny Dalglish. So, he'd come on after 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'd go off 10 minutes later. 10 minutes later, come back on again.
Awful ovation.
10 minutes later, go back on. Second half would come. 10 minutes in, back on.
It was actually Dom put on Instagram a picture of his Stevie Nicol testimonial shirt.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice one.
There you are. Ali, would a Venezuela team for any era have a decent chance of winning the CONCACAF Gold Cup?
We would have a real good opportunity to, at the very least, advance to the final, yes.
You'd win this year's, wouldn't you?
After watching some of these games.
Yeah.
Watching the USA-Jamaica game, that was hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would give ourselves a real good opportunity. By the way, the last time we played the United States, 3-0, Venezuela, just saying.
Mm. Scotland of your era would win it. No problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Ali, is Venezuela the only country where commentators advertise a soft drink after the goal celebration, or is this more widespread? I'm not particularly aware of this. What's this?
Yeah. Well, it's not, I wouldn't suggest that it's specific to Venezuela. And,
right.
And I must admit that I haven't heard this particular goal call, but I'm not surprised.
Right.
And sometimes what they used to do was, goal comes, the guy goes with the goal call,
yes.
And then they flash whatever drink, whatever beer, whatever is it that they flash it on the screen.
Okay.
As he's yelling, goal! And then he finishes his yell, and then they put it off the screen again, and then they go into the replays. But that's not specific to Venezuela. And I mean, even corner kicks, whatever, if you're hearing the broadcast on the radio or on TV, this corner kick presented by whoever.
Wow.
Yes, absolutely. Somebody's got to pay the bills.
Yep. Indeed. That is it. Thank you very much. Ali, it's the last time we're working together until you have a holiday. Have a lovely time.
What are you doing tomorrow?
I'm off tomorrow.
Oh, that's great. I'll be here tomorrow.
I'm off. Stevie, are you here tomorrow?
I'm off tomorrow.
Getting your hair cut?
Yeah. I'm going for a little trim. I didn't quite take enough off.
ESPN FC, they're back on your screens tomorrow. Be sure to join us.